Okay, once again, can't get enough of welcoming anyone. So I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's shiur. This is the second part of the Pesach shiur, which we began last Tuesday. So just to recap what we briefly discussed last week, we discussed the two P's, paradigm and preparation. As paradigm means, unfortunately, as you'll see tonight, hopefully at the end of the show we'll pass these pamphlets by, actually, if Mr. Coney wanted to do that now. clean for Pesach and enjoy the Seder, which seems to, most people seem to be a contradiction in terms. But we went through last week how people have to change their paradigm and realize their attitude about what Mr. Coney, here's another one, I'm sorry. This is a different handout. This is what we'll be touching on a little bit today. And thinking about what Pesach is all about, that it is a Yontif, and the significance of Pesach. Also, the chinuch aspect, the idea that children see what our attitude, and that reflects more than anything else. The kid thinks that Pesach is Tisha B'Av, so it's going to be more difficult for them to, for them themselves, to keep Pesach and Meretz Hashem when they get older, which is an important idea to keep in mind altogether. So last week we differentiated between Pesach cleaning and spring cleaning, the difference between the two, what we're looking for, what is chametz, how much chametz we're worried about, what do we look for, and so on and so forth, to try to change some of the stress that goes into cleaning for Pesach. And we discussed various things, particularly in the kitchen, how we caution them, let's say, like sinks and ovens and refrigerators and all those type of things we covered last week. So this week, I want to, as I mentioned last week, I really wanted to cover three basic areas. And again, this is part of preparation. If we prepare and we know what we have to do and what we don't have to do, and we have strategies how to do it, so then the preparation for Pesach is a lot easier, and we'll get more out of the Yontif, which is true by any Yontif. So as I mentioned last week, the first thing I want to discuss is cleaning the house for Pesach, which we did, Baruch Hashem, last week. Then the second thing I wanted to cover is, this year we have a unique wrinkle that comes up every once in a while, and that is Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So that changes a few things, and we'll discuss those tonight. And then hopefully if we still have some more time, we'll discuss some points about the Seder itself. That's the third thing I want to discuss. Okay, so let's talk about the halachas of Shabbos being Erev Pesach. Some people love this.
I thought that it was Saturday night,
Motzei Shabbos is Pesach.
Right.
But Shabbos is Erev Pesach. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's just the other way of looking at it, right? Okay, okay? So Shabbos being Erev Pesach brings up a few interesting wrinkles. Some people love this, and maybe this is part of paradigm. Some people like this very much because, I don't know how it is in your house, but Erev Pesach is extremely busy in my house. You can imagine whatever it is at your house, then you add to that a few more things like daddy has to run out to sell people's chametz, right? You sell it to me, but you know, like I got to get rid of it. So that has to be taken care of. You know, then there's always last minute things at the burning of the chametz. So is that a thing to take care of? And of course, there's always last minute calls. when does Pesach start? You know, like somebody, you know, those type of things. So some people really like this because you have one day before Pesach when it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. But because of that, we have some very interesting halachas that come out from that. And the way I want to approach it is we're going to go through a timeline. We'll go chronologically in order and see how it plays out. So for us this year, it's very interesting. Pesach really starts, if you want to look at it, 3 days before Pesach. It really starts in a way 3 days before Pesach. And what I mean by that is as follows. We're going to go now to Thursday. To Thursday, this year will be April 17th. Thursday, April 17th. So Thursday, April 17th, we have what we call Tanis Bechorim, which is the fast of the firstborn. So you all know Hashem killed the firstborn, And out of gratitude to Hashem, that obviously occurred the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach. Now, out of gratitude, since then, firstborn fast on Erev Pesach. Now, I don't want to get into this too much, because I think on a previous occasion, we discussed the whole fast of the firstborn. You know, there's a very interesting custom. But we'll get to that in a second. Now, normally the Tanis of Bechorim, the fast of the firstborn, is on Erev Pesach. So I don't know. Let's say pick a day. Let's say Pesach was Tuesday, right? Let's say it was Tuesday night. So the fast of the firstborn would be Tuesday during the day. Now, there's only one problem. Erev Pesach is Shabbos, and you're not allowed, except for if it's Yom Kippur, or fast for a dream, don't worry about that. But except for Yom Kippur, we don't fast on Shabbos. So now so what do you do? You can't fast on Erev Shabbos. So you would say, okay, so move it up to Friday. Answer is, we usually don't like to have a fast on Friday because of a very obvious reason. That is, it's a very dramatic change from fasting, and then all of a sudden you go into Shabbos and you're eating all that cholent. Imagine eating cholent on an empty stomach. You know, like that would be very interesting. So therefore, we don't want people to make that dramatic shift. So once we've moved the fast from when it has to be, again, the fast will really be on Shabbos. But once we're moving it, we're not going to move it to Friday, and then you go through that dramatic shift from fasting to eating so much on Shabbos. Rather, we push it to Thursday. So the fast of the firstborn goes on Thursday. Now, again, as I mentioned before, I don't want to get into the fast of the firstborn. We all know that there's an age-old custom amongst the Jewish people that people go to a siyum. It's usually part of the contract for rabbis. You've got to make a siyum on Erev Pesach. Another thing you got to take care of. That's learning, so it's not so bad. So that people could come to the siyum, and then they could eat afterwards. Now, again, I think on a previous occasion we discussed this is kind of an interesting custom, because, you know, like, if we could do this, why don't we do on Tisha B'Av? Make a siyum on Tisha B'Av. You know, okay, Yom Kippur, we're not going to fool around with, but, you know, like, picking up. So you don't see any other fast that you do this. But it's an old custom, and everybody does it, so... the other thing is that people don't realize is if you don't go to a siyum, you have to fast. In fact, some people do fast, believe it or not. Some people do fast, not too many, but some people do fast. Another wrinkle to this is there is a shiloh if you have a child who's a firstborn. So, for example, I was not a bechor. I was not a firstborn. I have two older sisters, Baruch Hashem. But when Avrami was born, so until he became bar mitzvah, so it was my responsibility. So I had to come. If I didn't come to a siyum, which was difficult, sometimes you can miss what you're doing yourself sometimes. So I would have to fast. For a parent, even if a parent's not firstborn, but if the child is, it's your responsibility until he's bar mitzvah. That's another wrinkle to saying, you know, when they're bar mitzvah, Baruch Shem Patrani, I'm finished with that. But what people don't know is there's an interesting shiloh about what happens if the father is a firstborn and he has a son who's a firstborn. So then what do you do in that case? What do you do in that case? In other words, what do? He fasts or he goes to see him? That only takes care of one angle, only takes care of half of it. So believe it or not, it's a big shiloh. Some people say that the mother has to take care of it then, because the father has to take care of himself. But again, if you have that shiloh, you should ask that shiloh. It's a very interesting shiloh about dual firstborns. Again, the father's a firstborn, and then he has a child who's a bechor. So,
twins. Oh.
No, that would be.
Right.
They,
right.
As far as we know, they can't come out exactly the
That's
same
true.
Time. You're a nurse. You should know that.
You're right.
Okay. There was a girl. Does the firstborn girl?
Usually not, but some people say yeah. But usually we don't do that. Okay. So now Thursday. So again, this is April 17th. If you have a bechor or you yourself a bechor, you have to take care of that of the tas bechorim. Then, there's another problem with, or I shouldn't say problem, challenge, with the fact that Shabbos is Erev Pesach. You know, usually, Erev Yontif at night, so again, let's say Pesach would be Tuesday night. some usually Monday night, what will we do? We'd search for the chametz. We'd search for the chametz. So that's rather difficult to do if it's Friday night. Besides the fact, I think it'd be too much for people to handle. You'd Shabbos Suda, and then you go looking for chametz. So what do we do? When do we search for the chametz? Thursday night. Thursday night the 17th, after Tzeis HaKochavim, when the stars come out, that will be 8:05 approximately. So we search for the chametz. Now again, on another occasion, we also discussed the idea of looking for chametz, and we discussed the Chofetz Chaim says, looking for chametz, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't say it in this language. It's not the Jewish version of hide and go seek, right? I think Robert Alaskin a number of years ago said that the beautiful thing about Judaism, Torah Judaism, is whatever thing you have, Hashem, Torah covers it. Like, you know, if you're the outdoorsy type, so we got sukkahs, you know, you could camp outside. You know, if you're an insomniac, you got shuas. If you're, you know, whatever you're into, you know, a pyromaniac, so you burn your chametz. You know, we got everything covered. So, no, Balad Bomer is a pyromaniac. I'm sorry. Again, you really have to search for the chametz. You know, sometimes you could forget something. You never know. Any place which belongs to you, which you own, and maybe you brought chametz in. So, again, I don't want to go into that much because we did discuss this on a different occasion. But if you have a room that you never bring chametz into, some people have a rule like you can't bring chametz into a bedroom. So then you don't have to check there because chametz doesn't come in there. I told a story about this a couple weeks ago. I was asked to give this shiur for a different organization. And I mentioned that when I had this chutzpah to live in the Rashi's house, you couldn't bring chametz into the basement where we lived. You were not allowed to bring chametz into the basement. I'm not saying we didn't try, but I'm saying that was the rule. But so you wouldn't have to check there because the whole thing is that maybe you had chametz, maybe there was chametz. And we know on Pesach not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, but you're not allowed to own chametz. You're not allowed to possess chametz. So you have to, so one of the things Chazal set into motion is to make sure, again, the problem with chametz is we use it all the rest of the year, chametz all over the place. So all of a sudden you have the 8 days with no chametz. So it could be all over the place. So we have to make sure that we get rid of it. So one of the steps is to search for it. So again, you have to do a real check, real search for the chametz. So on one hand, if there's a room where you never bring chametz, you don't have to check there. But if there's a room or a place that's yours that you do bring in chametz, then you have to check there. So an example that I like to give is a car. Car, I don't know about you, but like I usually have to blowtorch my car before Pesach. You know, like during the, you know, it's a roving restaurant for me during the rest of the year. And the chametz all over the place. So so again, if it's a place that's yours and you have to check for chametz. So that's a room or a place that a lot of people forget to check. People forget. If you're trying to look for me that Thursday night, a lot of times I'm here in the dark going through the shul. You know, somebody's got to check for it. A story I told is, you know, every year, I've been doing it, can I heard from a number of years, but after I check at home, I come here and I check for comments. So my fear has always been, you know, could you imagine this place dark and empty? It's very eerie. And you're going around with a flashlight, you know, looking for comments. So I always had this fear that one day there's going to be a knock on the door. The police, what are you doing? What's going on in there? You know, some guy's walking around with a flashlight inside the shul, you know? So sure enough, one year I was going through, and all of a sudden, there was a knock. I'm telling you, I almost had a heart. It was the Klein brothers. They came, Jason and David came when David was single, and they came to help me do B'dichas Chametz. I got so scared. But anyways, so you really have to check very carefully for a Chametz wherever, any place you might own. I know what you're going to ask, or I don't know. What happens if you own a place that you can't get to?
No,
like, let's say you have a vacation house, which I know somebody, in Arrowhead. So really, you're supposed to go up there and check for it. You're supposed to check there.
On that night.
On that night. We don't do that. What we do is we have, I want to say a trick. It's a bad word to use. but a dipsy doodle in halacha, that what we do is, you know, anybody who goes out of town, so we sell their chametz early. So that way, you know, if there's time zone problems, so they don't own chametz, we sell it the day early. We're going to even do it this year also, even though it's there's a reason for it. So one of the reasons why we sell the chametz early is if somebody has, let's say, a vacation house in Lake Arrowhead. I know somebody who does. So what I do is he sells me his chametz, and I sell it the day before. And that way, according to some poskim, he doesn't have to do bdikas chametz there, because we sold that chametz already. It's not his. It's already sold. So in the time bdikas chametz comes, his chametz is gone already. So that's one of the reasons why we do that.
But then, does he have to clean that if he's not going in there for Pesach?
Generally not. You know, well, we tell people it should be under control. In other words, there shouldn't be chametz lying around and stuff like that. Okay. But was that what you were going to ask?
No, my question is... I'm sorry.
I'm still a little jet lagged, so I'm a little off.
Okay. If it's a serious search for chametz, then why do you do it in the dark with a flashlight or a candle instead of with the lights on where you can really see it?
Right, because that way... Chazal is a very good question. Chazal say because if you use a flashlight or a candle... Right? My father used to use a candle. I'm scared to use a candle. I feel like I do a better search if I don't have to worry about the wax going on my fingers and, you know, and a fire, you know. So I check the first room with a candle just for old time's sake, and I use a flashlight, you know, a small flashlight. The reason is because you have to want to be able to get into every area, small areas, nooks and crannies, so if the lights are on, so, you know, okay, nothing here. Right? You know, that's what we do. This way, we're focused. A couple years ago, when I was at the Agudah Convention, Rabbi, I forgot if it was Rabbi Matisyahu Salman or Rabbi Donner, told a very interesting story. He said that his Rebbe, Rabbi Lel Lapian, said, "We think electricity is an amazing, it is, it's an amazing invention." But he said, I think in the name of Rabbi Lel Lapian, that for learning it was a bad invention. So you'd say, what are you talking about? You know, you got electrical lights. You can learn 24/7. Better than a candle, right? That's what I would think. So he said, no. He said, learning by candle is better. You know why? So when you learn by candle at night, so the illumination, all that you could see is your Gemara. So if somebody walked in, you didn't look up to say, oh, a Reuven just walked in. And all of a sudden, day is night, night is day. You know, somebody walks in, oh, I have to talk to him, wait a second. Or you say, you know what just happened to Reuven? You know, he's going through a tough time. You know, and it wastes time. And people aren't, you can see, people aren't focused as they used to be. It's a very interesting insight. Very interesting insight. We talk about attention deficit of people. Okay, so anyways.
Do you have to check the places where we work, our offices?
Yeah, you really should. Right. Yeah, you should. Now, the question is, if it's far, do you have to go back there? Might not have to go back there. Or, if you're not going to be there, you sell it to me early, and then we take care of that problem. Right? We could do that.
You work in the market. How are you going
to sell the whole bonds? Okay, so again, so Thursday the 17th during the day, we have Tanis Bechorim. Thursday night, we check for the chametz. Friday morning, now we're up to the 18th. We burn the chametz, right? Because you can't burn on Shabbos. So you burn the chametz Friday morning. And again, what we do is, even though it's 2 days really before, but still we say you should burn it by the time that you would normally burn it if it was really Erev Yontif. So in other words, this year on the 18th, you should burn it by 11:35. The chametz should be burned Friday. Now here comes one of the interesting wrinkles. Now normally after we burn the chametz, we say Kol Chamira. Right? At night we say Kol Chamira. Kol Chamira is an Aramaic where you say you disavow, you don't own, you make hefker, make ownerless any chametz you own. We say it in the morning when we burn the chametz a second time, because then we disavow any chametz whether we saw it or we didn't see it. So normally when we burn the chametz on a regular year in the morning, Erev Pesach, we say Kol Chamira a second time. Now, I do want to mention, if you don't know Aramaic, you could say it in English. This you could legitimately say in English or whatever language you know, Swahili, whatever it may be, because what you're doing is you're disowning any ownership of chametz. So if you read it in Aramaic and you don't know what you're saying, so you didn't disavow anything, I don't know what I'm saying. It's like one of these people sign a contract and don't know what they're... So same thing here. You have to know what you're saying. So if you don't know what Kol Chamira means, say it in English. There's nothing wrong with it if you understand English or something. Now, so in the morning, again, the morning Kol Chamira that we say normally is disavowing any chametz, whether you saw it or you didn't see it. No matter, all chametz I'm disavowing. Now, there's only one problem. The problem is this year, you can still eat chametz till Shabbos morning. You still have another 24 hours, pretty much, I mean a little less than that, to eat chametz. And we'll see, some people will want to eat chametz. So you don't want to say, I'm getting rid of all my chametz, I'm disowning all my chametz, because it's a lie. Maybe you want to keep some chametz. So therefore, you don't say Kol Chamira in the morning. You'll have to say, we'll get to it Shabbos morning. We'll talk about that. Now, some people do say Kol Chamira Friday morning when they burn the chametz. Why? If it is, and we'll discuss how you do this, if from then on you will not use any chametz, in other words, even though you still have another pretty much 24 hours to eat chametz till Shabbos morning, but if you want to get rid of all your chametz and be done with it, and we'll discuss how you do that, so then you could say Kol Chamira when you burn the chametz. If you recall, I don't remember how many years ago it was, where we had the same thing when Shabbos was there at Pesach a few years ago.
Sorry.
Was it three? I think it was three. So we had the communal burning of the chametz, and I told them to write, put out that people should say Kol Chamira. And somebody said to me, why are you doing that? Why? So I said, for two reasons. One is some people get rid of all their chametz. Second of all, there's some people who come to the burning of the chametz, you know, it's become such a beautiful thing, and people come from all over, and even some non-from people come and burn their chametz. So these people might not remember to say Kol Chamira Shabbos morning. So I said, that's why I told them to say it now. So at least they get, at least they got rid of it. Everybody understand that? Okay. So whether you say Kol Chamira this year Friday morning or not is dependent on something we'll discuss in a little while about whether you're going to eat chametz or not. Now we'll get back to that. Now, again, still staying with Friday the 18th. Normally, on Erev Pesach, again, if Pesach was Tuesday night, so Tuesday in the day, we burn our chametz in the morning, and then midday Tuesday till the night, you're not supposed to do malacha, certain malachas. It's like Chol HaMoed. A lot of people don't know this halacha, and the reason is because from midday and on is the time when they used to shech, they used to slaughter the Korban Pesach. So it's sort of like Pesach already. So you're not allowed to do certain malacha. Like whatever you can't do basically on Chol HaMoed, you shouldn't. So like you tell people, especially if they're starting Sfira, you're supposed to get a haircut in the morning. Right? If you want something tailored, it should be done in the morning, preferably. So this year, Friday, we're going to burn our chametz, but still it's not Erev Pesach yet. Because hopefully Mashiach will come and we'll have the Beis HaMikdash back. So then, when would they slaughter the Korban Pesach? On Shabbos. They slaughter on Shabbos. Midday Shabbos. On Shabbos. Imagine that. So really, on Friday afternoon, you could still do malacha. If you didn't get a haircut, you could get a haircut. You could get something sewn. Some people are machmir, you know, because they don't want to mix up one year with another year, which we discussed already. But again, it's a little different that really you could, let's say, get a haircut and things like that until Shabbos begins. Obviously, when Shabbos begins, that's it. Okay, so Friday is a little easier because you still have a little more time. Now, this is the big issue. The big issue is, so now Shabbos comes, so there's two big issues. One of the big issues is, on Shabbos, as you all know, we have to have three meals. Meal means bread. So how do you have three meals on Shabbos? What bread are you using? How are you going to handle that bread? And how are you going to handle the whole situation? So there's basically two options. You have two options how to handle food on Shabbos, right before the 19th, right before Pesach. Option number one is the limited chametz option. In other words, that you have to realize you're all ready for Pesach. right? We'll talk about this later. You have to be all ready for Pesach. Because, first of all, what are you going to do on Shabbos? You can't kosher anything on Shabbos. And not only that, no matter, even things that you can do, activities which you can do, you can't do, you cannot do on Shabbos as a preparation for Pesach, for the Seder. For example, let's say Shabbos afternoon, you want to set the table. You want to set the table for the Seder. You know, you have to have a nice table for the Seder. So, and we all know we want to make the Seder as quickly, as early as possible, especially this year, daylight saving time. It's going to be late. Kids have to hear the Seder. We want to make it nice for the kids, so we don't want to make it too late. So I'll set the table Shabbos afternoon. You're not allowed to do that. Even though, technically, there's nothing wrong with setting a table on Shabbos. Everybody sets a table on Shabbos. But if you do something on Shabbos that is preparation for after Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that any Shabbos. Let's say you're having a Malav Malka, so Shabbos afternoon you want to set the table. Nothing, again, nothing wrong with setting, putting out a tablecloth, putting out the place settings. Technically, there's nothing wrong with it. But if your intent is for Saturday night, it's completely awesome. There's no question about it. Believe it or not, there's some there's a Shaila if you say, let's say you have to go somewhere Saturday night. So you say, not if you, if you do it without saying it, it's not a problem. Let's say if you say, I'm going to go to sleep now, so I have energy Saturday night so I could do what I need to do Saturday night. You know, that's a problem. Some people, suppose some say it's a problem. There's nothing wrong with sleeping on Shabbos, as everybody knows. But if you say that you're doing it expressly for Saturday night, that's a problem. It's a hakana. So you have to be completely ready. We'll get into some details of this before Shabbos. So imagine this. Your house is completely Pesach dip. Your house is completely Pesach dip. But I got to eat food. I got to eat bread. So what people do is they have small amounts of bread. You have to guesstimate how much, because each person needs a kezias per meal. So you need a kezias per person for Friday night. And a kezias, this is basically like a slice of bread is a kezias. So you need that amount for each person Friday night, and that amount for each person Shabbos morning. And as many people as you have Kanayin Har in your family. And then Friday night and Shabbos morning, we'll talk about another aspect of Shabbos morning, you eat the bread. Now, you can't just eat the bread anywhere because your table is Pesach dik. So you have to find a place, a controlled place, to eat the chametz. You have to watch out for crumbs. And then, if there's anything, any chametz that, let's say you overestimated and you have some bread left over, so you have to dispose of it through the bathroom, through the toilet. You have to flush it, because you have to get rid of it. So that's one option. Now, you have to realize, if you do that, there's another very important thing. That is, Shabbos morning, you have to be finished eating chametz. You have to get rid of it by 11:35. That's what we said before. But you can't eat chametz by 10:17, Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, that Shabbos, we're going to be davening 7 o'clock in the morning. 1 minyan. 1 minyan.
So it's moving over there?
We're all moving over there. Unless we have a small crowd, then we might just have it in here too. But so because you'll see why. We'll discuss it. So again, so option number one is Friday night you'll be eating small, as little bread as you can to be yotze. In a controlled area, wash out your mouth, come to the table, and eat Pesach dik. Right? The soup is Pesach dik. The vessels are Pesach dik. The table is Pesach dik. The food is Pesach dik, right? So you don't want to have any chametz in your mouth while you're eating all that, right? So you got to watch out for your mouth. You got to watch out for the bread. You have to watch out for the crumbs. Mm-hmm. People do this. People, you know,
right. But
people
do
this.
You can use like paper plate and
you can
plastic,
use paper plate.
Right.
Right.
Or whatever.
No,
you call
whatever it.
It
is. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
My,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a Shabbos dik, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you can use the regular. See, you have to realize the only thing you're eating chametz is the bread, right?
Right.
And you're eating it over there, right? I'm not eating it over here in my dining room, right?
Right.
Like My father-in-law, I guess it was 3 years ago, it was before the Gilgal, before that. My father-in-law and mother-in-law were here. My father-in-law wanted to eat clements. So they went outside into our backyard.
Mm-hmm. So we can eat it in the balcony, like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be like an idea. Keep it away. And again, you have to keep it controlled, right? Whatever you eat Friday night and you have leftover for Shabbos morning, you have to keep it in a safe place, especially with little kids, right? Yeah.
The other issue is you're not supposed to eat any matzah, so it has to be any.
That's right. That's the problem that you have. What are you going to eat? Yeah, thank you. I should have been. Right, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
A few years ago, I heard that.
We'll get to it. Hold on.
You know what's the question?
Remembering Sunday night, is that the time when one could use egg matzah for the
water? Well, hold on with egg matzah. Okay, so again, so you have to eat in a control area. You got to watch out for crumbs. You got to watch out for your mouth. And you have to dispose of any remainders by 10:17. So that's option number one, and people do this. Now, option number two is don't use chametz. So how am I not going to use chametz? As Mrs. Kronbach just said, so what's the other option? The other option is matzah. That's nice, but you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Some people have custom. Now, remember, I always tell you, you always have to differentiate between, even in halacha, you have between something from the Torah, something that's rabbinical, something that's a custom. Some people have a custom not to eat matzah. Some people even don't eat matzah starting Purim. Some start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's a custom. That's a minhag. The halacha says that you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Very simple reason. Because we want you to have a desire to when you eat the matzah, something special. So when you eat all that matzah at the Seder Saturday night, so it has an oomph to it, as much of an oomph in it as it could have. Oh, by the way, I just found out right before Mincha, we're going to have matzah for sale on the show, so you're the first ones to know. So we'll let you know about the price in the next couple days. So therefore, you can't eat, the halacha says, not custom, that on Erev Pesach, you can't eat matzah. So that means Friday night Shabbos, you can't eat matzah. But I don't want to eat chametz because I'm the nervous type. So then what's the options? Options are, as people mentioned, egg matzah. Now, we all know about egg matzah. Now, before we get into egg matzah, you know, I do want to caution you, and I think maybe, Rabbi, unfortunately I wasn't here, Rabbi Eidlitz is here, but you all know that even if you buy matzah, you have to make sure that it's kosher for Pesach. Right? They do have matzah that's not kosher for Pesach. So you do have to watch out for that. Regular matzah, that's not, right? You sell it? There you go.
Matter of fact, it's good advice to go to the Passover display.
Right.
Rather than go
the kosher section.
Kosher section is not kosher with Pesach.
Don't hang out near the borscht.
Right.
Okay.
And always check every package.
What year?
Yeah,
do they
sure
put what year it is
no.
on?
No, they just put that if it's kosher for Pesach.
Right, you have to check. Right. Now, besides that, there's a separate issue, and that is egg matzah. Or it doesn't have to be egg matzah. It could be anything. You know, matzah, chametz, as we mentioned last week, is any type of flour from the five grains, right? The browse grains, barley, rye, not rice, oat, wheat, spelt. One of those flours mixed with water, right? But let's say if you had one of those five grains mixed with some other liquid, some other fruit juice, like eggs or apple juice, or I think they use grape juice now, right? Mm-hmm. They do all sorts of things now, right?
Chocolate-covered
ones. Well, that's different. Isn't that different? Because it's just well, let's not get into it. So the question is, does that those type of liquids, other than straight water, does that cause the dough to ferment, sour, or whatever, rise, like water, faster, slower, the same? There's an argument in halacha about that. Called matcha ashira, rich matzah. So I'm sure everybody here is familiar with this issue. And therefore, you could have one of those types of matzahs. And again, it was baked under 18 minutes and everything. But we, Ashkenazim, don't eat those matzahs. If a person's sick or they're very young, we let them eat it. And what's also interesting is we hold that you could own them, you just can't eat them. Ah, so now here's the loophole that we could jump through. So now the loophole is, we'll use that for Friday night and Shabbos morning. In other words, we'll use the egg matzahs to eat for the hamotzi for Friday night and for early Shabbos morning. It's not chametz, right? You could keep it in the, you could keep it, you know, children are allowed to eat it. A person's ill is allowed to eat it. Just not a quote-unquote regular, whatever that means. Person can't eat it. And you can own it. And doesn't make anything chametz. I mean, again, you have to be careful. I assume the egg matzahs also. Just say kosher for Passover and then the little disclaimer, you know, you shouldn't unless you're a child or infirmed or whatever, you know. So you should make sure they're kosher for Pesach egg matzahs. But again, that's what we do. Now, the only problem with egg matzahs is another problem. Really, egg matzahs are, there's a question whether they're hamotzi or not. So what we say is that if you eat enough of it, so then your koveya suda, you made a meal based upon this, and even if it's a manzonos, you make a hamotzi on it. Everybody follow that? So you have to eat a lot of egg matzah in order to use them as a hamotzi for Friday night and early Shabbos morning. How much? 2 matzahs per person.
Square?
2 square?
Yeah, the regular square. Not 2 boxes, 2 matzahs.
Okay.
2
boxes for me.
But 2 matzahs, so again, you have to think about that. How many people, and again, you're going to need it for twice because you need it for Friday night and you need it for Shabbos, early Shabbos morning. Again, even these egg matzahs, you should not eat them after 10:17. So even if you're using this option, you have to daven early because you shouldn't be eating these matzahs after 10:17. Right? So again, so this is the option that some people use, is that you eat a lot, you eat 2 egg matzahs for Friday night, 2 egg matzahs for Shabbos morning. You don't have to worry about crumbs. You don't have to worry about flushing it down the toilet. You don't have to worry about, you know, all those other things, you know? Right,
so
you should be careful with the crumbs, but it's not as severe as
like
real chametz. Right, but it's not as bad as real chametz.
Yeah, except it's power-like.
Right.
Fine powder, you don't have to worry at all.
So this is one of the options that some people use, especially if they're a nervous type. So this is an option. Now, neither option 1 or 2, now again, whether you're using option 1 or 2, everything's Pesach, Dick, already for Pesach. Everything is, right, everything's ready. Also, what it doesn't help you with is for Shalosh Shudas. It doesn't help you for Shalosh Shudas, because Shalosh Shudas you're supposed to eat later in the day, preferably after Mincha time, so let's say it should be afternoon. So what am I going to do then? I can't eat chametz, because chametz is gone at 10:17. Can't eat egg matzah also, that's after 10:17. So what do you do? So you could, again, normally we don't do this on a regular Shalosh, but according to some opinions, you could fulfill the obligation of Shalosh Shudas with fruits or vegetables or things like that. Now, again, you're not going to want to eat too much because, again, you don't say, I'm not going to eat a lot because I want to have room for the Seder. But again, what you should do is have something Shabbos afternoon that's not one of the 2 things we just mentioned, not hamotzi, either through chametz or through egg matzah. And then you have some fruits and vegetables, you know, eggs, one of those type of things, say Dvar Torah, and that would help you for Shalosh Shudas.
Can you have matzah byproducts like matzah meals or matzah farfel?
Yeah, well, it could be something baked, like a knedel or something like that, that you could have.
You
could
have that in Shalosh Shudas.
Right, that you could have in Shalosh Shudas, right.
Like cookies and stuff, it's baked?
It depends. If it's baked, it shouldn't be, but something
could.
Oh,
cooked.
If
it's baked,
like
I'm pretty sure it's okay. Some people, I think, when we had this a few years ago, one famous rabbi wrote it's not. You shouldn't. But I'm pretty sure that the Aruch HaShulchan says you can.
I'm sorry, I missed the question. Are you allowed something baked?
Could we ask these questions
and
ask these questions
and
a little louder voice?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Now I wanted to slip in a segue a little, not only about the Seder, but also about Pesach, really putting it together. And as I mentioned before, you can't do anything on Shabbos as a preparation for after Shabbos. So normally, if it's a regular year, so on Erev Pesach, what are you doing? You're grinding the horseradish. You are making salt water. You're roasting the shank bone. You can't do that on Shabbos. So therefore, you have to do all of it before. You have to do all this stuff before Friday. Now, there are some issues. One issue is maror. I wanted to touch on maror for a few different aspects of maror. Now, if you use grated horseradish, now I think everybody here knows, you can't use the horseradish that's in the bottle. I mean, could, but you're not for the mitzvah of maror. You can use it with your fish or stuff like that. But you can't use it for the mitzvah of maror because it's mixed with other things. You know, it has beets and it has vinegar and it has right, with a bunch of stuff in it. But it has a bunch of stuff in it. You have to have straight maror. So the question is, what's maror? So you know, some people use horseradish. So as you have on this sheet, so you all know when we talk about horseradish means you go to the vegetable store and you get a horseradish, and then you grate it, and you use it as horseradish, and you eat that horseradish. Now, as we've discussed in previous occasions, you can't just have one little thing of horseradish. You have to have a certain amount. And Rav Moshe, you can see, you can keep those charts, says it has to be 1.1 fluid ounces of horseradish. So if you can imagine that, you know those little cups we use for kids, we get to the kids? That's 1 ounce of, 1 ounce. So it's basically a little bit more than that of horseradish, grated horseradish. Now, maybe some of you could do that. I can't do that. I mean, unless I want to end up on the moon, you know? If I couldn't get a ticket to New York, that would have been the option. So, again, some people do this. I know people do it. I'm just talking about my personal constitution. I can't do it. But the issue is that it has to be freshly ground, grated horseradish. So the only question is, what do I do in a year like this? When you can't grate something on Shabbos. First of all, you can't grate something on Shabbos. Anything on Shabbos. Second of all, you're preparing for Saturday. For Saturday night. It's two problems. So the question is, what do you do with the horseradish? Because if you grate it before Shabbos, it will lose its oomph. And we want it to have the oomph. So you have two options. Number one is some say that you could grate it on Friday and you seal it in a Tupperware, Gladware, a sealed container, put in the refrigerator and put it in a sealed container and hopefully it will keep its oomph. That's one opinion. The Vilna Gaon says that you don't do that, that it will lose its oomph. And so therefore what you do is you grate it Saturday night. But there's a question, but you're not supposed to grate something that finally on Yontif, even on Yontif, even though it's for food. So the answer is that what you do is when you grate it in an unusual way, in a different way, you make it with a shinoi. So in other words, you hold the grater upside down, or that's the best thing, is you, in other words, hold the grater in a different way than you normally hold it. So those are the two options. Either your horseradish, you grate it before Shabbos and put it in something airtight and put it in the refrigerator, or do it right before the Seder when Shabbos is over already, but you grate it with a shinui. That's one option. Now, once we're discussing this, I wanted to bring up a separate issue, and that is what you use for maror altogether. So like I said, some people use horseradish, and there's nothing wrong with that. As you all know, the other option is to use romaine lettuce. So you know, romaine lettuce is a big problem with bugs, and I'm sure everybody's heard. To eat maror is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah derabbanan. It's a rabbinical mitzvah. To eat a bug is a prohibition from the Torah, or sometimes many prohibitions from the Torah. And that's eating one bug. You can have hundreds of bugs in a romaine lettuce, one leaf of the romaine lettuce. So it doesn't exactly trade off equally. So what I've been telling people, and, oh, the other option is sometimes they try to give bugless romaine lettuce. You have to really be careful with that because sometimes, believe it or not, the bugless romaine lettuce could be hydroponically grown. And there is some question whether you can make a Brie Priya Dum on something grown hydroponically. There are different opinions, but it is an interesting shayla. If you, now, as we all know, something you eat for Mara has to be a Brie Priya Dum. So if it's grown hydroponically, it's not coming from the ground. So what I've been telling people, and this is why I mentioned that the other shear, is I'm telling people, and I've said this in the past, is to use iceberg lettuce. Because Rav Aaron Cutler, Zeichas Tzadik Livracha, and also Rav Dov Feinstein, Yibalu Chaim Tovim, say you can use iceberg lettuce. The rationale is pretty simple. I mean, it's nothing simple, but... and that is lettuce, like iceberg lettuce, and romaine lettuce, and butter leaf lettuce, and salable lettuce, all those different types of are really this, it's just brother and sister of the same basic family. So they hold that the halacha is you eat lettuce. Which type is, you know, whatever. So it's become a custom people use romaine lettuce, but again, they hold you can use iceberg lettuce. And you know iceberg lettuce, as opposed to romaine lettuce, is the opposite end of the spectrum on the bug world, right? Some hold that you don't even have to check iceberg lettuce. You should wash it off and stuff like that. But it's the opposite extreme of iceberg lettuce. Iceberg lettuce is very buggy, and iceberg lettuce, romaine lettuce is very buggy. Iceberg lettuce is least buggy. So that's why I tell people. That's why I've been telling people this year also. Use iceberg lettuce. Save a lot of hassle. And halakhically, it's much better. So, again, so that is something you should bear in mind. Now, salt water is another issue about making salt water. So, again, some people make it before. If you didn't, you could, we say if you make a small amount, and as long as it's not a lot of salt in the water, like very, very concentrated salt water, you can make it Saturday night. So, really, that's probably the better thing to do is salt water you can make Saturday night. But again, as far as the other thing is roasting the egg, some people roast the egg also, roasting the zroa, roasting the shank bone, and things like that, you should do that on Friday. All that stuff should be done on Friday. Okay? Now, as far as the Seder itself is concerned, again, I'm not going to go through any chat luck or things like that, but you see from both handouts, you have the requisite sizes that you have to make. What you have to consume and eat, things like that. Also, you know, this year, since it is Saturday night, at the first Seder, we're going to be making Havdalah inside the first Kiddush. Again, it's laid out in the Haggadah how to exactly do that, what the order is. So that's something to bear in mind. And as I mentioned before, again, you can't start the Seder before Tzeis HaKochav, before Shabbos Eating Time. That shouldn't be a big problem because, you know, and the husbands get home from shul and some of that stuff like that. But again, on the other end is you should start as soon as possible. Because again, we want the kids to be involved. We want the kids to be into the Seder as much as possible. Okay, any questions? There were questions.
Two things. Rabbi Eilat said when he was here that there's been an update on the romaine lettuce and that the RCC has backed up the ready pack.
Well, it could be they're getting. They've always been trying to do a run, like from a certain field, which they feel is less prone to be buggy. Mm-hmm. I think we'll only know when we get there. Like I think it's still maybe they know by now. But
you probably know, but in Livonia they do have a sign to that same effect that the RCC is covered, so they sell it, but they have the RCC sign.
Right, you have to be careful,
what
make sure.
What it is lettuce that's being grown in the Central Valley in a greenhouse, you said.
Right.
It's now got,
so that's not the same thing as a hydroponic.
It's got dirt on it when you get it, but they're selling it in the kosher stores now, and it has the RCC, and it says that you only need to rinse it.
So it could be. Again.
So if that's there and it's grown in a greenhouse,
so then it's not a problem.
Then it's not a problem.
I don't know about the price.
It's not, it's expensive, but it's not terrible.
Right. So again, you know, like some people, I don't know, there's certain things that, you know, for some people wouldn't be Pesach without. You know, like, so, like, I know my wife, my father also, you know, and they say you got to have horseradish. My life would be fine without horseradish, you know, even at the Seder, you know, so you use the lettuce. But, you know, so for some people, like romaine, if you just, like people tell me this, eat iceberg lettuce, you know, so it's like eating a salad. I'm eating a salad for, see, I don't understand that, because when I was a kid, as you all know, I didn't eat salads. Because I felt that lettuce was bitter, you know, it didn't taste good. I mean, you can't compare it to a candy bar. Can't compare. So, you know, like when Chazal talk about, you know, it's bitter, and so everybody says, well, lettuce isn't bitter. Like, I used to look at them and say, well, what are you talking about? It's like terrible. So I never understood that, but that's a personal thing. I did see, like, unfortunately, again, I wasn't here for this year, but I did take the pamphlet with me. I saw something very interesting that he writes in the back, a few interesting things. And then he says that Diet Coke, did he mention that?
Yeah.
It has a CRC on it, but it's not CRC. It's a different hashgacha, and it's only good for Svartim. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You have to check. Maybe
our Diet Coke
might be okay. But again, they usually don't know about what soda is going to be made locally, because
right,
usually it's a last-minute decision by Coca-Cola. I don't know, so maybe we should check that out, because I can tell you that's
one.
Maybe
it
has an OU on the little cap on
right.
The top.
On the very top.
On the top, right, okay. Yeah?
I was wondering, is there, if there's a family minhag, let's say, to use horseradish, is one obligated in it, or is it not, is that or is not?
Depends if you kept that minhag, if you did it. Again, you don't have to keep that minhag, you could change that minhag. Again, I think a lot of people, so you have to understand, a lot of people used horseradish because where do most of us come from? We come from Poland, Russia, you know, a place like that. They didn't have that variety of foods there. Why do you think everything in Pesach revolves around potatoes? Potato this, potato that. Because that's the way it was in Russia, you know, yeah, potatoes, and that's about it. So you have to figure out this way and that way to use potatoes on Pesach. So it always comes up with my in-laws. You know, Hungary was a more affluent country. They had more. I remember, I think the Rebbe Sinai Allah Shalom told me that if somebody, you know, she was born in Ran. So I think she told me once that if somebody went to Israel, in those days, it's not like today, it was very rare for somebody to go to Israel, to go visit Israel. So if they came back to Ran, they brought the Chofetz Chaim a gift. They brought him an orange. Who would see an orange in Poland? It's a citrus fruit, right? It's the wrong climate. So you didn't have to, you know, we know these, like, we don't relate to this. Like, every year when Rabbi first comes with Ozos, the Sirogim, I stopped to think, I tried to think, you know, like, you don't appreciate, you know, people have an Esrog, they have two Esrogim, three Esrogim, you know, like, for their kid, for their grandmother, for, you know, everybody's got an Esrog. You know, we hear stories, and it was, you know, you don't think about it. Sometimes the whole city had one Esrog. Who would have an Esrog? How would they get an Esrog? Have to come from Israel or a warmer climate. How would they get it there? Horse and buggy. I mean, how do they get there? So we don't appreciate it. So what are most of our grandparents eat for Maror? They didn't have romaine lettuce. They ate the horseradish. That's what they had. So, you know, like my father used to eat horseradish. You see horseradish. Like I said, I can't handle it. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a country like this. You don't have to. So, again, you have to know whether if you accepted that as a minhag, so then you have a hataras and darim issue. But if you didn't, so then you could switch it.
I thought it was very medoctic to continue it. Yeah. But I'm wondering if I can let my son off the hook.
So we could discuss it privately. Like what some people do, like I know what my wife does, you know, like they use horseradish. So she puts the horseradish on a little bit, on the lettuce, you know, just to remember the way they used to do it in the Alter Haim, you know. But so you could do something like that. But... okay, anything else? Everything relatively clear? Okay. Yeah, if you know the halacha clearly, so then it's not so difficult. You know, you just have to know in advance, like we said.
So we can take a nap in the afternoon?
Yeah,
that
anytime you can take a nap. Just don't say, I'm sleeping now so I can be up for the Seder.
Okay.
Right? You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't verbalize it.
It is sleeping because of Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I used to do that for the last 100 years.
Don't look a day over 99. Just kidding. Okay, we shall be zolkatol kasher freilachon, especially freilach.
Yeah.
Pesach, Amir Hashem. Yeshua Kol, everyone.
Amen.